everyone, and welcome to Relay, the Team GB podcast supported by GoDaddy. Now then, as you know, in this series, we get to meet the athletes who will be representing Team GB at the Tokyo Olympics. I'm Vernon Kay, and I've got to say, everyone's love for the Olympics, it seems to be in you. It seems to be somewhere, and then every 4 years it comes out and you blossom into this radiant Olympic fan. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's crazy. Happens. It really does. So I'm joined by Nicola Adams, and of course Rhys James is here as well. Rhys, this Olympic build-up is very exciting because we know what to expect, because the Olympics always deliver.
Oh, I'm absolutely buzzing. I mean, I'm hugely buzzing for a Tokyo opening ceremony. That's going to be mental. And also, yeah, we've had an extra year to sort of, I mean, look, the athletes have had another year to prepare. More importantly, I've had another year to prepare the decorations in my house and my excitement for it. Another year of it building up.
Nicola, you've been there, you've done it. You've been in the build-up, you've been in the parade, you've been swept over by the tsunami of excitement, both in the Olympic Village and also the nation at home. Just give us a sense of what it feels like.
To be able to represent your country and to go there and win a gold medal is unbelievable, do you know what I mean? And just having that pressure lifted off you, you've qualified for the games and now this is the fun bit. It's like, it's an experience you can't really describe, but there's just this buzz around the village when you're walking around. And I remember the first time I saw Usain Bolt and I was like, oh man, you're I was like, geez, and he's just walking past, just eating a sandwich. It was just,
Is it disappointing to see Usain Bolt just walking past?
Yeah.
You're like, come on, mate.
Not what,
I know you're
all.
When you're in the village and you're seeing the other countries in their teams, are you trying to psych them out?
Yeah, definitely.
Are you?
Definitely.
Are you giving them the eye and going, yeah, sit over there, mate. This is GB table.
It must be nice, though, because when you're in that village, and we talked a lot about this last episode, to see those athletes, I mean, you know, Mo Farah did make the Mobot synonymous. So giving each other, let's say, for example, like I just said, giving Usain Bolt a bit of banter, do the Mobot instead of doing the, whatever he called it, the Pegasus, the arrow. Did he brand that?
The Bolt. It's got to be the Bolt, isn't it?
The Bolt, yeah. But is it fun, or can you get a sense of that competitive feeling within the athletes' village?
It's all fun and games until after
you're punching each other.
Yeah. Literally, all the build up and everything's like, it's all fun, and then you get to the opening ceremony and that's fun, and then as soon as that's done, it's like everybody just changes and it goes into game mode, and just the serious, like, professional athlete comes out of everybody, and everybody's just focused on trying to win their medals.
Well, just explain to us, if you can, what you were doing this time 5 years ago as you were preparing for the Olympics. Talk about your mindset and where you're at prior to the Games.
Yeah, prior to the Games, you're just thinking about the things that you need to work on, your flaws, where you're going wrong, and then also the things that you're really good at. Like, they're the things that you'll be mainly focused on. By then, you already know what boxers you might be up against, so you'll be watching the tapes of them competing. You'll be drilling the tactics for those different opponents to really get honed in on what you need to do when you get to the Games.
Rhys, that's a little bit like doing stand-up, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm constantly looking at my opponents. I see the audience as opponents. So I hope they're okay with that.
Yeah.
There is a similarity there where I am also looking at my flaws before I go on a tour. But that's because I'm then going to talk about the flaws, and that's how I get a laugh, is by doing that. Mainly the prep involved for stand-up is you just got to stock up on Barocca and Imodium. That's essentially it. That's all you need. They're the two ingredients that you need for a tour. It's just you need to get some energy and plug everything else. That's the whole system.
I guess the similarities are in the way that you prepare yourself mentally, aren't they? I mean, I've done stand-up once in Los Angeles, and it's probably the most horrific thing I've ever done apart from hosting Splash. But it's so nerve-wracking. I've never boxed, but the mental preparation is key to everything these days, isn't it? Especially in sports science.
I mean, I guess it's the same thing. You're still up in front of a crowd and you want to, you know, perform well. So it's the same kind of.
But you've got people punching you, Nicola.
Yeah, apart from that.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to move swiftly on. And I want to introduce today's very, very special guest. We're going to welcome Chev Clark, one of our boxers, one of our hopefuls. Hi, Chev. How are you?
Hello. I'm good. How are you, Brennan?
Yeah, we're very good. Reese is here as well. And Nicola, of course. Chev, I'm not going to introduce you. I want all our Olympic athletes that we talk on the podcast to introduce themselves, because I think the most difficult thing to do is talk about yourself.
Yeah, it is.
I think it is. Well, obviously, well, that's what you do for a living, Reese.
10 years, mate. It's not that hard. All you got to do is just be a narcissist and that's it. It's pretty easy. Chev, I'm not accusing you of anything, mate. But if you just up the narcissism and you'll have a lovely time.
Chev, first question then. Who are you? What are you going to do for Team GB?
I'm Chevron Clark, and I'm going to go to Tokyo and do my best to bring back a medal for Team GB and the nation.
All right, Chev, nice. Let's talk about what category you're in the ring.
I box at 91 kilos, which is heavyweight in the amateurs. And yeah, we some big guys, man.
Yeah, some big boys.
That's how I introduce myself as well.
Beast mode.
Preparation, let's talk about that first. Nicola has just explained to us what it's like and the headspace that you're in pre-Olympics, pre-getting into the ring. Where are you at the moment? I mean, I'll be honest with you, you're looking pretty decent shape there, my friend.
Well, right now, I'm very relaxed. Obviously, we just qualified 2 weeks ago, so you'd think I'll be really excited. I'm actually more relieved than excited, because for me, personally, the way I look at it is the job's not done. So in anything I do, it's when everything is finished that I get excited. I just want to go out there, finish the job, put on some good performances and bring back some medal.
Do you feel any pressure at the moment?
In this moment, no, but 2 weeks ago when I had to qualify, and there was all the pressure.
I know what that's like.
What is it like? Tell us. That's what this is about. Tell us, what is it like?
You go to the qualifiers and like everybody's already got you tipped for a gold at the Olympics, and you haven't even qualified to actually even go to the Olympics yet. So it's a massive amount of pressure. And you know, every time you step into the ring, you might have 4 or 5 fights before you can actually say you've qualified. So if you lose any of those fights, you're not going to the Olympics, and you're up against the best boxers in the world, and they all want the same thing. They all want to go to the Olympic Games. So they're giving 110%. You cannot have an off day on those qualifiers.
Is there almost more pressure on the qualifiers?
Because you
so want to go. More than anything, you want to go. Obviously, once you're there, you want to get a medal and you want to get gold. But everyone's so desperate to go. Surely that's the bit where you're like, if I miss out at this stage, it's almost more gutting.
Yeah, it's like literally, it's over.
Well, thank God you qualified, Chev. Well, that'll be very good.
Where are you in your physical preparations? Are you still eating lots? Are you slimming down? Where are you when it comes to your physical preparation?
You know, being a big guy, we don't have to really...
that's music to my ears, big boy! Oh, we're just carving up every day, lots of protein.
I'm one of the heavier guys. I have to box under 91 kilos, but I'm pretty good with my weight, so I pretty much eat what I want. I do eat very healthily, but I don't really have to watch what I eat. And in terms of physical preparation, we've just competed, so we're still at a good level of fitness. We've taken a week break, and then we'll go back and just pump it up a little bit more and go out there and do the job.
All right, well, I'm going to ask you a question, and this year I'm being really selfish, Reese, Nicola, and I apologise beforehand, because you're plant-based, aren't you? Is that right? You don't eat meat?
Nah, that's right, I don't.
All right, so I'm skinny. I'll always be skinny, and I think the day they lay me to rest, I will be skinny. How do you put on weight plant-based? And I know it's a really basic question, and I know vegetarians will jump on board and they'll say, oh, it's dead easy, but what do you consume? Where do you get your protein from? Surely you must eat a lot of soya beans or edamame.
Yeah, most of the proteins I get come from soya, tofu, you know. I don't miss meat itself. I just miss the seasoning. I've taken the seasoning and put it on all the vegan or plant-based stuff, and it tastes the same, pretty much. Because on camp, I'm the one that does the cooking for like a bunch of the boys. They can't tell the difference. They literally eat my food every day.
God, I wish I was on the camp when you were there cooking then.
The only thing I miss the only thing I miss is my mum's cooking.
Oh.
But you have to make sacrifices.
All right. Well let's talk about your cuisine influences, because I think all of that is part of your life journey, because you're from Montego Bay in Jamaica and you moved here when you were 11, right?
That's right.
So I would imagine that you're going to miss a little bit of curried goat. You're going to miss the jerk chicken.
Yeah.
You're going to miss all the... But you're taking all of those spices and you're putting it into plant-based food.
That's right.
Nice. I love that.
Listen, when I bring my book out, make sure you get a copy.
Oh, that's the plug. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the first official plug on Relay, the Team GB podcast. We've got a book out, which is nice.
How I knocked everyone out on soy alone.
Yes.
Now, it's a bit, I know I'm being stereotypical here, but you don't necessarily expect a heavyweight boxer to be plant-based.
Yeah,
but
that's what I was getting at. Yeah,
you also don't expect a heavy goods vehicle driver to be plant-based.
Yeah.
Now, that's what you were doing before this, right? You sort of, did you quit boxing and then you started driving a truck and then you came back to boxing?
Yeah, it's been a bit of up and down, and I boxed in the Commonwealth Games in 2014. I didn't get the result I want. I thought it was the end of the world. Oh, I don't want to box no more. And I went home and my dad was like, you need to get a job. And like, he said that to me all previously before that. I was like, no, I'm gonna box. And I went back home, he was like, you need to get a job. I was like, yeah, I need to get a job. And then I started low driving. I drove for 2 years, and throughout that time my friends just annoyed me. They literally was just like a mosquito. It was, oh, you're a waste of talent. Who's ever done what you've done from our town? You need to go back to boxing. I was like, okay guys, all this time I've been boxing, you guys have been able to do normal things. You've been able to buy a car, you've been able to purchase a house or whatever, and I haven't had that opportunity. And I was finally making a little bit of a wage. And I was enjoying it. And in December 2015, it was like the last bit. They kind of won me over. And I went to the gym one day. And my coach said, listen, we're having a show on March the 4th. Make sure you're ready. And throughout the time, he had never bothered me. And he was the guy that believed in me from the beginning. I was like, oh, he said it now. I've got to do it. And I done it. I fought a guy who was on GBA and I beat him. And after that, they said, oh, the championships is in 2 weeks now. So make sure you're ready. And it just went from there.
So you quit boxing because you were disillusioned with it, you were sick of it, and then you started driving this lorry, and then your mate started annoying you, and you thought, well, I've got to punch something. Back to boxing.
Yeah.
People say that a lot of athletes take talent and then grow and develop talent via hard work. How would you describe your work ethic?
I don't particularly think I'm great at boxing. There's plenty of guys who are technically more gifted than me. But one thing you won't do is outwork me. I don't care. In whatever I do, you will never outwork me. Whether it was football, lorry driving, boxing, I will work to the last second. The coaches tell me at camp I work too much. So
that's because they're trying to get some of that lovely cooking.
Have you had any like really serious injuries? Like, I know your appendix burst when you were 18. Like, do you remember any of that?
Yes, I've had a lot of injuries, but the two major ones is when I was living in Jamaica. I went home from school one day, and went out to play with the boys as you do, and was playing hide and seek. There's an unfinished building site, and I thought if I was smart, I could go onto the unfinished building site, go on the roof. And it was like a ladder. If I moved the ladder, they wouldn't be able to come up on the roof to find me. So anyway, gone over there now. And it was a wooden ladder. And this building site had been not been working on for a while. So I ran. I've gone up like halfway up the ladder. And it's like snapped. And I fell off. And I've impaled on this spike. And I was like, ah! And they found me. And then they took me to hospital. And I had to have an operation. And turned out a flatline on the table. And I just remember waking up and like my mom was there. Like, yeah, it's crazy.
Well, that was a gear change, wasn't it?
I know, right?
Wow.
Jeez.
So you were technically dead for a bit, and now you're back to boxing the Olympics. What is this life story?
Yeah, it's a bit mad, isn't it?
Yeah. They're going to have to make a film of this, aren't they?
Hopefully.
Well, here's another twist in your story that I find really intriguing is that you actually competed for Jamaica in the Commonwealth Games in 2014, right?
Yeah. That was funny.
I bet. Tell us what that was like. Because was the big man, was Usain on the team?
Yeah, he was actually my flat neighbour. Like, you know, you have flats, you have your next door neighbour. He was my neighbour. Like, it was crazy. Going to the games just blew my mind. Like, it was, as Nicola said earlier on, just like the stars you see walking around. Your Nicola Adams, Tom Daley, all of the stars you could think of were there. And I was just like, whoa. Next door was Usain Bolt. So I thought, you know what, one day I'm going to knock on the door. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to knock on the door today. Boom, 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 on the door. I was like, big man, my niece really likes you. Would you mind speaking to her on the phone? And he just, yeah, come here.
You didn't come out with that classic.
I swear. Yes.
Is there any chance I can have a selfie? It's not for me. Yeah. It's not for me.
Yeah, and he literally was playing Call of Duty. He loves Call of Duty. And yeah, he spoke to her, and she just was buzzing.
Who's the tallest of the two of you? You are him.
Oh, he's massive. I'm a baby.
Is he?
Compared to him, yeah.
When you met him, you hear so many stories about great athletes and the way that they are, and it's always nice to find out that they're nice people. Does he have an aura? Does he have a presence when you're in his company? Do you get a sense that he is greatness? Or is he just so... Because I've heard that he's really laid back and just dead relaxed, dead calm, dead placid, very sociable. Do you get a sense that you're in the vicinity of greatness with him?
Yeah, because my idea of greatness is like when you know when you're good at something, but you don't need to show that or behave in a certain way. He was just like, yeah, cool, no problem, come in. Do you want to play Call of Duty? And it's kind of the same. It's very similar to Anthony Joshua.
Very humble.
Very, very just cool guy. You want a picture? Cool. Do you want to borrow that? It was just very, very, very similar.
Was Nicola the same when you met her?
Yeah, to be fair, I met her. Hey, Nicola, do you remember? I wanted a selfie with you when he was going to the...
Yeah.
There he is! But it wasn't for you, right, Chef? It wasn't for you. Yeah, it was for his old auntie.
Yeah. I've actually got the shirt that you signed, that all the team signed.
It's getting embarrassing now, all right?
Chef, do you want my autograph, or are you going to ask, or what?
Yeah, hey, listen, send it through, please.
I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll sign you. I'll send you an old signed copy of the Family Fortunes interactive DVD before I was replaced by a chef. Yeah. All right.
Yes.
So, chef, like, what's going to motivate you to get the gold at the games? Like, what's going to be your big drive?
My mum and my sister. That's it. Like, my mum. It sounds cliche, but I used to have to pick my sister up from school, so I used to have to leave early. So I'd be like, oh, sir, could I leave early today and tomorrow I'll be really good. I used to leave school every day 15 minutes early to go and pick up my sister because my mum was working. So, like, just seeing all of what she's had to go through as a single mum and just being in a foreign country on her own, being lonely, that's enough motivation for me, do you know what I mean? And just to change my generational legacy, I suppose, yeah.
Nicola, let me ask you this question. When you're in the final and you're eyeballing your opponent, right, and you know that this is it. This is going to be either the start or a big stumble in your legacy, whether you win or lose. I don't know whether you can remember, but what's the final thought that goes through your mind before the bell rings? Do you think of family and home? Do you think of emotional things like Chev has just mentioned, his mom and his sister? Or are you solely focused on, right, I'm going to come out, I'm going to put my best foot forward, couple of jabs, step back, see what she's got?
Yeah, like literally in a finals, I'm just thinking about the tactics. I'm thinking about all the hard work that I've put in to get this far. And I'm just one step away, just literally a couple of rounds away from completing my goal. So I'm just thinking, put everything on the table, give it everything I've got, do the absolute most to do everything to win. That's all you're thinking about, really.
But you know, Reece, when they put horses in pens before they do the Grand National, and some of them wear blinkers. Chev, are you trained to mentally program the blinkers and shut everything out? Or do you use that as kind of a force field around you, your emotions for your family, your emotions for your friends, you know, everything that you've learned? How do you program yourself before the bell rings to think, right, I'm just going to knock him out?
Me personally, I just know that the work that I've done, he hasn't done that. The overtime that I've done, he hasn't done that. And anybody that's fitter than me purely because of what we do on GB Boxing and the extras I do. If you're fitter than me, you know what? I take my hat off to you. Like, for a big guy, I'm very fit in that sense. So I rely upon that.
How many times a day are you training, and what's the workout schedule?
So we train 3 times a day. We'll get up in the morning, we'll weigh in, then we'll report to the track for 7:30. The run varies. It depends on what stage of training you're in. You'll do like a short run, a very explosive short run, or a longer, steady. After that, you go back, have your breakfast. Then you have your second session. Depending on what day it will be, you'll have S&C, strength and conditioning, or you could have a pad session. Then in the evening, you predominantly do sparring.
So you like your routine, you like having everything set, you like working harder than everyone else. When you're going into the fight, have you got any superstitions before? Do you do any, like, do you, you know, put your left leg in first?
I always like to put on my right glove first.
Oh, of course, it's gloves, okay. Isn't it? Boxing, it's not legs. What about you, Nicola? Did you have any when you were boxing?
No, I actually didn't. Just purely because I'd seen people with, like, chains and bracelets, and they'd go missing, and you'd see the best boxer in the world just turn into a mess. And, like, for that reason, I just used to go in just as relaxed as possible, and whatever happened, because 99.9% of the time something always went wrong, so I just went with it and just stayed relaxed with it all.
That's really interesting. So all the bling as such becomes a distraction because it always goes missing and someone's got their eye on it.
Yeah.
So
of course, if you find out about someone's superstition, you can just nick the just nick Chev's left glove.
Yeah. That's it.
So basically, Nicola, what you said is you just get rid of life clutter. Walk in there in just your tracksuit with your bare manil, your toothbrush and your gloves, and then off you go.
That's it. Put the music on, everybody has a laugh, jump in the ring.
Yeah.
Wow.
I can relate to that. When I first started boxing again in the ABAs, me and my coaches used to just dance around and mess around. And I promise you, people used to think it was crazy. And in the finals, you get music to come out. You remember the song Panda?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had that come up playing. Well, my friend played it for me as a surprise. And when I heard it, I went mad and I started dancing out. That was my walkout.
Are you in a sort of advantageous position because you're making your Olympic debut at 30? So does that mean you've got a bit more maturity? So you can go in and you've got a bit more mental game than maybe any of like the younger debuts?
You could say so, but I mean, our team is so good, man. I wouldn't take that credit away from anybody because anywhere we've gone to, we've brought back so many medals.
I find it inspirational that you're there at 30. I turned 30 this year. Is it not too late for me? Sorry, I didn't. Vernon, I did not mean that as a joke, okay? Hey, I'm trying to get into the Olympics. I'm not saying this has to be boxing.
No, all right, okay.
I'll do archery if I have to.
No, but I just want to go.
Reece. Vernon is fully mocking it. Don't have it.
I'm not, Chev. I trust me. Someone. It's just a vision. It was a vision. That's
well,
all.
What
it
should
was.
I? What should I go for then? I'm not going to do skateboarding.
Curling.
Okay? I don't have the hip. Yeah. Just do curling. Yeah. I don't have the knees for curling anymore.
Volleyball.
Volleyball, that would do.
Oh, breakdancing is coming into the Olympics.
Okay, sorry, and the idea of me breakdancing is less humorous to you than me boxing.
You're listening to Relay, the Team GB podcast supported by GoDaddy, who helped boxer Chev Clark build a new website for his lifestyle brand Level Up. He's just one of over 20 million entrepreneurs they've helped on their journey. And Chev, this website meant that you didn't need to take the orders yourself anymore, right? With your pen and paper.
It really has streamlined the business and made it a lot easier for myself and customers to get the apparel out to them and just enjoy the whole experience.
Tell us about it. What is the business? What does it do? And what's the motivation behind starting it?
So when I started boxing again in 2016, I used to wear T-shirts that said Level Up on it. And I just started my social media and people was always asking, oh, where'd you get them shirts? So I got the idea. I was like, I'm going to start selling them. So what I used to do is I used to collect orders over a 3-month period, and at the end of it, I'd make the T-shirts for the people, the sizes and all that. and then give them a bell or drop them a message and say, I've got your stuff, pay up. I'll send it out to you. And yeah, that's how it started. And it just grew as my notoriety grew, the more customers I had. And funny enough, I was listening to something on YouTube one time, and I saw this GoDaddy advert about entrepreneurs, and I actually really liked the advert. And funny enough, a couple weeks later, I had the opportunity to work with GoDaddy. So yeah, that's how it all came together. And it's just really, really easy now, simple.
Have you always been enterprising? Have you always had that kind of entrepreneurship inside you?
I hope I don't get in trouble, but when I was at school, I used to sell everything.
You're looking for a textbook? Just open in a big coat.
On the way to school, I used to buy chocolates, you know, fingers.
Yeah.
I used to buy fingers, chocolates, drinks, everything. And I used to sell them for lunch because the canteen was too expensive, innit? I was doing it a little bit more cost effective for our people. And yeah, I've always just had that, man. Any opportunity to make a living, I'm at it.
All right, well, hang on. Back in the day, what was the price of a single chocolate finger?
Oh.
Or did you do bundles?
I used to do them by the box. I used to do them by the box. Yeah.
Did you do party packs where if you buy a finger and a Kit Kat, you get a free boost?
Nah, we don't give nothing free, man.
There he is. That's why this young man will be successful, ladies and gentlemen. All right, Chef, let's just kind of come to a conclusion. There's a legacy within British Olympic boxing, and it's up to people like yourself to carry that legacy on, because we've done exceptionally well and we've had many, many fighters go on in the professional ranks and succeed. How do you deal with that? You said that you only celebrate as soon as the fight's finished, but there must be something in you that's kind of got an eye on the other guys and girls that have been so successful at the Olympics and walked away with a medal.
That board is everything.
Yeah.
That board is everything. Nicola's up there twice. Like,
yeah, of course. Yeah.
Doing the most.
Nah, that's legendary. And I will be up there, God willing, you know. It's inspirational, man. And just, you know what's inspirational about it, more inspirational about it? Those guys are on the board, and Nicola used to come up to GB and do a bit of training. You have Big Josh that comes up there. You have Josh Boetsy that used to come up there. Sometimes the other guys come up there. So when I first got onto the team and I used to see those guys coming, I was like, yo, they're up there, but they're here. I can do that too, you know? So God willing, it will all work out, man.
Well, one of the best pieces of advice I've ever been given was from my old American football coach when he used to play American football. And he used to say, act like you've been there before. And I love that. And I think every time you do something, you're like, all right, yeah, this is, I feel like in my comfort zone, but if I act like I've been here before, it just relaxes you that 10% that you need to get on with it. And you seem full of confidence, my friend. And I think, you know, Nicola, you can speak because you've been there and you've done it, but work ethic's really important, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's really, really important. You can have all the talent in the world, but you need that hard work to go with it. To stay at the top of your game. Going into the Rio Olympics, I was ranked number one in the world. Big target on my back. And to keep that motivation and to keep that drive, you've just got to work hard, even harder than anybody else. When I went to 2012, I was the underdog. And it's so much harder to stay on top, so much harder.
Mm. Can I just say that as inspirational as I find both of you, to hear that a hard work ethic is necessary is incredibly disappointing to me. Can't we just be all right and easy? You've got to try, have you? Oh, for God's sake.
I tell you what, I'll make it easy for you, right? Just work hard outside of whatever you do, and when you do it, it'll be easy. There you go. That's an in-between.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, yeah. Trick yourself into thinking you're not working hard.
Yeah, this is a man whose warm-up is half a bottle of lager.
Yeah.
Now, as we know, sport is all-inclusive. Everyone can get involved in sport. There's loads of sports for everyone, no matter what your ability, physical, mental or otherwise. There's a massive festival of sport taking place on the 14th and 15th of August. It's a free event taking place across the UK, including the Olympic Park in London. So if you feel the urge, if you... We always do when the Olympics are on. We always feel, oh, you know what? I fancy a bit of 100 metres. Or, do you know what? I fancy a bit of equestrian. Never had a horse. But, you know, it always looks interesting. Then go and have a look at the Festival of Sport, because it's really inspiring. Athletes will be there, past, present and future. They will motivate you and your kids to get involved with sport. You know, it's good. It's good. We talk a lot about mental health, and being active is really good for your mental well-being and your physical well-being as well. So go and have a Butchers. Follow us on the socials at Team GB. You'll get more details of the Festival of Sports on the 14th and 15th of August on there. And you can register your interest, create your own activity at iamteamgb.com, and you may even get the chance to meet one of our Olympic athletes. That's amazing. That's iamteamgb.com for more details. Now, Chef, we know you're buzzing to get to Tokyo. We've established that. But we all need the arm around the shoulder from time to time. And that's why we're here. And we can't wait to get you off to Japan. But we can't let you fly to Japan without some last-minute words of encouragement from a two-time Olympic champion and a stand-up comedian. We call this part of the show the Motivation Station. And right now, I'm going to hand you over to the one and only Nicola Adams and our very own Rhys James.
Here we go.
The GoDaddy Motivation Station.
Chevron Clark, Olympian, your time has come to compete in the land of the famed rising sun. You've come a long way since you drove lorries. Now you're heading to Tokyo to pick up the glory.
Our country can't wait till we see you in action. For millions like me, you're the real main attraction. All 33 sports come with wonders and treats, but against heavyweight boxing, none can compete.
You follow in the footsteps known to young and the old. Lennox, then Audley, then AJ scooped the gold. With your jab, feints and uppercuts, crosses and hooks, now it's your turn to enter the history books.
Because this boy from Gravesend is ready for war. He's already been technically dead twice before. You better believe Chevron's toughness is real. He survived being impaled on a spike made of steel.
When you reach the arena and that crucial bell sounds to hurl that start of the opening round, opponents will flinch at the glimpse of your robes, and Great Britain will cheer you to conquer the globe.
Boom! If that doesn't inspire Chev, I don't know what will.
Hey, who wrote that?
So Chev, I hope those words of advice from Nicola serve you well in Tokyo. And for everyone listening, if you want to be inspired, if you need some motivation from one of our Olympians, then get in touch. You know where we're at, on the social media, at Team GB. If you're getting married, if you've got a function coming up, if it's your birthday, anything like that, if you want one of our Olympians to say good luck, get well, or whatever it could be, then get in touch via our socials. Chev, thank you so much and good luck this summer.
Thank you very much. Anybody want to get some extra motivation, hit me up on socials. I got you. I'm the guy, all right?
That's his second plug. Second plug. All right, well, if we're going there, Chev, where are you at on Insta?
At C4 Chev. C4CHEV.
All right, and on Twitter?
Same thing, C4CHEV.
On Tinder?
Nah, brother.
All right. Well, enjoy the food in Japan. It's predominantly plant-based, a little bit of fish in there, but have a great time. And once you get into that Olympic village, lock your door, get rid of all distractions and just go and punch the lights out.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. It's been a fun time.
Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to check out teamgb.com for all the latest news, views and interviews from inside camp. Go to iamteamgb.com to register for the Festival of Sports on the 14th and 15th of August as well. And it's at Team GB on social media to get in touch with us on the podcast. And if you've got any questions you want us to pose to our athletes, if you want us to talk about anything in particular when it comes to sport, whether you've got young kids who are getting into sport and you're trying to motivate them to go to practice on a Saturday or a Sunday or a late, wet, cold Tuesday night in Stoke. You never know. You never know. We've got all the help you need. So get in touch on the social at Team GB. Next time on Relay, the interview baton passes on to not one, but two Team GB hopefuls. Track and field twins, the Nielsen sisters, will be joining us on the next podcast, on the next episode. We'll also have more motivational moments from Nicola Adams and Reese as well. Relay is a Team GB podcast supported by GoDaddy and produced by TBI Media. And we'll catch you next time. Thank you very much.
You've come a long way since you drove a
Hollage.
Hollage. Right. Can I just say lorries?
Yeah.
It's like...
Yeah, just do
can
that.
Can we start again?
Keep that in the edit. Brilliant.